Gosh-o. In advance of the workshop this Sunday, I want to take this opportunity to speak to some of the themes of your responses to the latest exercise. This won't be a guided imagery, but of course, if you want to, you can always sit back, close your eyes, relax, and listen. Ending a lifetime, we could say lifetimes, of suffering is not easy. Ego voices will claim it should be, and the only reason it isn't is that there's something wrong with us, but there's no truth there. There's no quick or easy fix. As we're fond of pointing out, if it were easy, it would be popular. And no, we can't do it on our own. On our own means with ego. Even the Buddha didn't do it on his own. The ego system gets us when we're most vulnerable. Difficult times, when we're stressed or tired, or a hard circumstance comes our way, and ego swoops in. As we've noticed, it often distracts us first to set us up for the takeover. When we were kids, everything was a capital offense. Ego still uses that. A loved one may have a terminal diagnosis. We're late for a meeting. We forgot to pay a bill. There's the same shot of adrenaline, and the system goes into high gear. That fear, that anxiety, being ego, is constantly working to separate, to isolate. Again, when we're alone with ego. And that's where ego is able to inflict the most suffering. With awareness practice, what we get to give and what we get to get is what we've always wanted. A 24/7 companion who is endlessly open to and interested in us. We're never left or abandoned. We have unconditional love and acceptance, no judgments. We're never criticized. Anxiety is always a conversation in the head. We may first notice it via sensations in the body, but the body is simply reacting to conditioned meanings, stories, beliefs, assumptions. Sensations by themselves cannot, do not, will not cause suffering. Remember the sequence. First, there's movement. Then there's sensation, a thought or a label, an emotional reaction, and a conditioned behavior that goes with that. We usually pay attention when we feel the sensations. We rarely are aware of the movement that preceded the sensations. But the suffering comes in with the thoughts, the labels, the meaning that has been assigned to those sensations. And then the emotional reactions, and the emotional reactions to the emotional reactions. And then we're in the program behaviors. We can't figure this out. The mind cannot free us. The mind, in the grip of egocentricity, is the problem. The resistance from ego gets bigger as we get closer to a breakthrough. All it can do is get big enough and loud enough that we will be frightened and quit looking. If we don't quit, if we continue to look, it will collapse. It's a program. It has nothing to offer in the moment, in the present, which is why the present is our refuge. I heard a psychologist once opine that almost no one is older than 3 to 4 years emotionally. That's where most of us got frightened enough to start looking to first external and then internal authorities. First the parents and then the ego learning. We became convinced that that's where we needed to look for direction and safety. The work that we're doing in awareness practice is freeing ourselves from the bondage of that, in quotes, training. We learned all of that long ago, for most of us, before we can even remember. But the fact that it's been there all of our lives doesn't make it true. And it doesn't mean it is something that we can't see for what it is and go beyond. Ego wants to scare us about the past and the future. Shame us, make us feel guilty and regretful about the past, embarrassed and frightened, fearful of the future, all of the things that could go wrong. But life is learning. Everything that came before has brought us here, has taught us all that we've learned. Going forward, we'll continue to learn and grow to the degree that we stop ego from keeping us paralyzed, caught in a fearful childhood. What it comes down to is that we simply must stop believing the incessant conversation in the head. It has led us astray all our lives for longer than we can remember. Now, we can redirect attention away from the head and to the heart. We can learn to trust life, the life that is us, the unconditional love and acceptance that will guide us with wisdom and compassion. We must stop choosing conditioned beliefs over our experience. If we notice, if we pay attention for just a little while, we realize that the voice in the head is nearly 100% inaccurate. And yet we go on trusting it. It tells us we're bad, wrong, in danger. We'll make fatal mistakes. Yet, here we are, older and wiser. Yeah, the voices of ego will scream that we're older, but definitely not wiser. But that's more lies. We are wiser. And if we continue to choose life over ego, we'll even get younger. Forever, the fear-mongering ego voices have been shrieking the equivalent of fire at every turn. We've yet to burn up. If a real person in your life were doing that, how long would you continue to believe it, panic, and run? Of course, you'd see through it in no time and stop reacting. And That is what we're practicing to do with the ego voices of fear and anxiety. The ego programming fights against anything that is good for us. All support, kindness, encouragement. How? How does it do that? It's mean, and it frightens an emotionally very young person. But that's all it can do. It can say mean and scary things, but it can't do anything. A parent or a teacher could punish us. They could send us to our room, withhold things from us, even hit us. Ego can't do that. All ego can do is talk us into mistreating ourselves. And we have the power to stop it. This is, in fact, not the, in quotes, inner child work that became popular a while back. That work tended to have people stuck in a, in quotes again, relationship with small children who were actually simply ego masquerading as a small child. We don't really have small children living inside us. We don't have small children who are literally still alive and stuck somewhere. What we have is karma. What we have is conditioning. And that will arise in a moment. When it arises, we have two choices. We can either indulge it or we can face it. If we indulge it through fear, self-hatred, and such, it will continue. If we face it, bring it into the conscious, compassionate awareness of the present, it will dissolve. So what will happen to those, in quote, children? Well, actually nothing. We get to reclaim all the ways of being that were traumatized out of us when we were young. We get to play and enjoy and engage and participate. All of the energy of childhood will be freed up for us to have. Please, please do not fall for the notion that a child or children inside you are going to be moping around or trembling in fear for the rest of your life, waiting for you to go into the closet with them. That's not how it works. When something like fear arises, we bring loving kindness to that reaction. We don't need to assign that reaction an age or a look. If there's a, in quote, child that continues to want attention, it is not a child. It is ego pretending to be a child. What we're learning to do in awareness practice is to mentor an adult, not a child. The emotions may be old, may feel young, but it is the adult human we're practicing being with through all of life situations. When we're here in the present, all legitimate wants and needs are fulfilled. A traumatized child only wants unconditional love here and now. It does not want to live in the past. Ego wants us to live in the past. Ego wants to tell us sad tales that cause us to give it attention. Those, in quotes, kids, as soon as they realize they can trust you, they want to hop into right here, right now, and have fun with you. Realizing that the mentor is the awareness we are, bigger and stronger than ego, regardless of how loudly ego is yelling, realizing what we are authentically gives us all the courage and confidence we need. How do we get bamboozled? Well, as we know, the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate get us to do something that he can then frighten or beat us over. So it talks us into doing something that isn't going to go well, and then it's right there to frighten and beat us over. So for instance, I worry about health. The voices get me to eat poorly and not exercise. I worry about money. The voices get me to spend too much and not save. I worry about aging. The voices get me to ignore diet and fitness. I worry about relationships. The voices get me to act out in ways that harm my relationships. And just for a moment on that money one, the voices will also tend to talk us out of having the things that would make us more open to enjoying life as it is. Those will be withheld as too expensive or an indulgence, whereas something that we don't need and don't actually want will be presented as something we simply must have. The body is not actually a player. All suffering happens in the mind. The body merely reacts. When the mind, taken over by ego, starts through one of its programs, the body suffers with what the body has not initiated. In practice, we often hear that we will do for the love of others what we're not willing to do for ourselves. For instance, someone we love needs unconditional love and we're right there to provide it. If we can do that for someone else, we can do that for ourselves. Getting interested, curious, excited about getting past ego, past fear, past anxiety, in order to help someone else can work miracles. So again, we must realize that we are that love-worthy someone else as well. We forget, we get conned, we suffer, we wake up, come to, see what happened. And we can then be for ourselves what we've always wanted from others. Unconditional love and acceptance. And here, I will offer what to me seems to be the biggest, most important, in quote, secret in the world. The very best way to have what we want is to be it. How to do that? It's actually simple. We must simply realize that that's what we already are. See you on Sunday. Gusho.